listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, welcome in. Hour four, baby. Surging hard. We ain't tired. We're getting stronger, like what Coach McCarthy was talking about. Let's control that workload so by the time we get to the fourth quarter, he got that stamina. He got that juice left to go ahead and bring it home. We're going to bring it home. Who's we? Yeah, no, we ain't. We're talking about practice,
we
baby.
We ain't tired, boss.
We're talking about practice, not the game.
We're talking about practice.
Practice. You dig what I'm saying? I'm talking about TJ Hushmanzada and LeVar Arrington. This is Fox Sports Sunday.
Yes.
That's right. Mike Harmon, he's taking a little bit of a blow, but he'll be back. You'll be able to hear him tomorrow back with Jason Smith for the week. And, yeah, enjoy the day off. Enjoy the day with the family. A lot of conversation, a lot of great topics discussed today, some really, really good feedback and insight from the calls and from TJ. And well, it's just been a good show. So if you missed anything, make sure you check us out on the podcast, subscribe. Make sure you let them know. You know, you felt good about the show and you feel good about the show because obviously it does a great job for us because, well, they give us more radio time. Also, shouts out to all of our affiliates out there. We know how important it is for you guys to put us into programming. You could put something else on, but you chose to have our voices ring through your fabulous city that you're in and the places that you're at. So we appreciate that as well, the support there. We got my man Iowa Sam back there. He brought us in.
Indeed.
Yeah, we got Nick back there. What up, Nick? Yeah, yeah.
What up, guys?
Wahoo!
Now, I saw Ralphie come in. Is Ralphie on this hour update? Did Allo check out or is Allo still here? Still hanging with us for the entirety of the show, but Ralphie came in this joint looking like Vegas went six rounds with him, TJ.
Man, for real.
It was scheduled for 12, but it went six, and apparently he won, and people can't really come out of Vegas saying that. So good for you, Ralphie. Good for you. All right, let's jump to it because we do have an hour left, and we do have a lot of great topics to jump into. Big news out of New York City. We saw a guy that was coming in a little bit late. So he's obviously coming in a little bit hot. Jets get the deal done with Zach Wilson. It finally ends. A $35.1 million contract standoff, which is crazy because in the end, the contracts are slotted and they're already handled. This was more a matter of language. Probably when are you going to get your signing bonus, if things are voidable, when they're voidable, certain things like that. Now, this guy was taken number two overall with a new head coach, Saleh, as the new head coach, the former defense coordinator for the 49ers. He brings in LaFleur, not the LaFleur that you know that is the head coach of the interesting stuff that's all going on in Green Bay, which, by the way, y'all notice we did not mention Aaron Rodgers. This is the first time this show in 4 hours, so y'all should be happy about that. But the brother is the offensive coordinator in New York City. So I want to ask you this on the heels of getting this contract done and getting Zach Wilson in, I believed that the more ready quarterback that could have had the conversation of being a game changer for the New York Jets was Justin Fields. I rung that bell very loudly. I was very disruptive about it. People told me to shut up, but I'm still saying that I felt after watching Justin Fields for the last couple years in the Big Ten that he was the most prepared outside of Trevor Lawrence to come in and have an impact immediately. He doesn't go second quarterback, and he doesn't even go third quarterback. He goes fourth, but Zach Wilson was the second quarterback. Can Zach Wilson and this coaching staff, can they turn it around? Can they turn the tide of what's going on, what's been taking place in New York with this Jets team?
I'm not going to lie. When I saw that Zach Wilson wasn't in camp on time, the New York Jets, what are you doing? Like, this is why you guys can't win. This is why You guys are a bad organization. And Robert Saleh, he's saying what you're supposed to say. Oh, it's not the same old Jets or whatever. It has nothing to do anything with that. It's just business. No, it is the same old Jets when the pay is predetermined. You're arguing over offsets and deferred signing bonus payments. Get the man in camp. And so, like, we're on the field on Wednesday. Get a call. You got receivers out here. Zach Wilson's here. I'm like, he should be in camp. Like, come on. He missed 2 days. He's a rookie that's going to start the first game. Get him into camp on time. Stop arguing over language of offsets and deferred signing bonus payments. And normally when guys sign, they get their money in 14 days minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Get a man his money. Trying to push it to next year. Get a man his money.
Mm.
And so it's the same old Jets, but he does have weapons. He has more weapons than I believe Sam Darnold had. And so I wish Zach Wilson the best. He's a phenomenal kid. I believe he's going to be a phenomenal player just out there throwing with him. But the Jets dropped the ball on this, and I was actually surprised that it wasn't more talk about the way they've handled this. Yeah, he only missed 2 days, but that's 2 days too many. And
for a slotted contract, like, come on, let's be real here.
Exactly.
Trey Lance was about to be late as well, right?
Get it done. And then you see what John Lynch said. We've never had a first-round pick that wasn't signed on time.
In a slotted era.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying. It's like there's a reason bad teams are bad teams, and the Jets fall into that category.
Wow.
Until they change the way they do things, things will remain the same. Say what you want to say. Saleh can be a great coach, but if up top they're not doing their part,
you can only
it doesn't
be as good
matter.
As the organization.
It doesn't yeah. matter.
You're right. You're right. You know, I tend to agree with you, TJ. I believe if the process that Robert Saleh can bring to the table is respected and is given enough time to go through and be executed, they may have a chance. I think that bringing that style of offense that they ran in San Francisco could be very, very important to the success of Zach Wilson at a young stage of his career and learning how to have success and read defensive schemes and where the pockets and the windows of delivering the ball will be, when to run, when to get down, when to throw it away, all of those things, the speed of the game. He's going to have to learn a lot of those things. But as it applies to how this contract situation was handled, I totally 100% fully agree with you. It's very difficult to kind of comprehend why you would allow in a New York market, a New York media market, why would you allow for the guy to be two days late getting in? Why would you set him up with failure with that media market? The moment something goes wrong, that media market is going to pounce. They are going to pounce, and they are going to pounce in a way that can make you see ghosts when you don't see ghosts. It can make you fumble the ball on somebody's backside when, in most cases,
as they should, though. Yeah. As they should.
It just, it's a very, very pressure-packed place, a very pressure-packed market to play in. And then there's always the conversation of, even though the New York Giants have not been good either, they do have Super Bowls in recent years, so to speak, to kind of lean on and brag upon that they've had success in the current NFL. So it begins to be a tough conversation, because I played in a dysfunctional organization. I spent my career, my best years, health-wise, in a dysfunctional organization. If you thought it was a player, the player would be gone. Another player comes in, still dysfunctional. You thought it was a coach, a new coach comes in, a high caliber, high profile coach, still
same
the
thing.
Same results. You get rid of the coach, another coach comes in. Same results proceed, more players, high profile players, more money thrown at it, more coaches brought in, same results. I learned at the end of my career that the dysfunction of management and leadership at the top of an organization, like you stated so well, is going to always be the catalyst and the tone that's set for the rest of the organization. You saw, guys, that same mentality that was exercised with coaches and players was also the same thing that you saw with employees and every other aspect of the building. You saw so many people going through a revolving door that no one really was in any type of stance to take ownership over the jobs that they were doing for the organization. Now, if you have that type of feeling in New York right now with the Jets, then you would have to assume that the type of fiery, passionate coach that Saleh is, it might run thin very quickly with not only the front office with Woody and those guys and ownership, but it may run thin with the media as well. You know, it's a tough, hard-nosed place. When you're winning, Robert Saleh's mentality and the way he runs things is going to be a bonus. People will get behind it. They'll rally with it. This is New York. We're tough. We're survivors. We get through it. When you're losing, it's just loud. It gets on your nerves. I don't want to hear it anymore. You're a rah-rah guy, and you don't want to deal with it. Now, I'm not willing to put that on Saleh yet, that this is not going to work out. But I also will say, if you're being undermined or if you're being put in a difficult situation to be able to have success because of the decisions that are being made by people above your pay grade, then it's kind of like if you've been brought in to do a job and to clean up a mess, a serious dumpster fire of a mess, how exactly are you going to be able to do that if you're not getting the opportunity to change
the way
like the
culture is?
You would like
things to be smooth. As smooth as possible, especially if it's something you can control, which they could have controlled this. You want to change the perception of how you're viewed as an organization. You want to change the perception of how people just, how you do business. And in my opinion, they didn't do that. Whether they cared or not, I don't know. But give those players and this new head coaching, this head coach and his staff, an opportunity to be successful. Say what you want to say. Things are slotted. When you have slotted contracts, there should be zero holdouts. Zero. And so when this type of stuff happens, it's what you said. Replace the coach, replace the players, still don't win.
Same results.
Replace the coach, replace the players,
same
still
results.
Don't win. And you know what that's called, right?
What is that?
You keep doing the same
crazy.
Thing over
what,
and over.
What is that called? What's the word?
And you get the same results.
Yeah,
that's
there
insanity.
It is.
Insanity.
There it is. Yeah, that's the word. Insanity.
And so, but these owners, they're not going to fire themselves.
Well, they're insanely wealthy as well.
That
so
is
their
true.
Insanity is defined very differently. Their insanity is definitely defined very differently than other people's insanity because they have, well, money that's insane. And when your money is insane and you're insane, then, well, in this case, you know, two insanities make a right insanity, I guess. I mean, you're okay with living in it. All right. And with that being said, I guess we're going to get out of here and go to the next segment. Coming up, what team are you high on? TJ, we're going to ask you that. We're going to answer that. You're listening to Fox Sports Sunday. Let's get out of this insanely interesting topic and transition into that insanely interesting topic. Fox Sports Radio, that's TJ Hushmanzada. That's Iowa Sam. And that's Nick back there. We'll be right back. I'm LeVar Arrington. We'll talk to you in a second. Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, welcome back into the show. Fox Sports Sunday. TJ Hushmanzada, LeVar Arrington. We are coming up to the halfway mark of this last final hour. Let's jump right into it. Staying in the NFL, who do you got as your top team? Like who are you high on?
No,
who's up from here?
Let me say, they're not my top team, but who am I high on? And it's gonna sound, you know, if it's going to sound like a homer. You know where I'm going now.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm high on the Bengals.
Okay.
If Joe can stay healthy, which I believe he will, I like the pieces they have. Offensively, they're going to be hard to stop. It's just, can you protect them? Defensively, they should be better. I believe the Steelers are going to take a step back. The Ravens are the Ravens. They're always going to be good. The Browns, I believe, will have a really good team as well. But I'm high on the Bengals. For some reason, they have the talent. It's, can they put it together? And I hope I'm not doing what we discussed in the last segment of you change coaches, you change players. And nothing changes. But, yeah, I'm high on the Bengals, man. I really think they have a pretty good team.
The Bengals. All right. That's amazing. The Cincinnati Bengals.
If I had to buy stock on a team, they would be one of the teams because I'm buying low. And I like where they're going.
I'm going to trip you out with this. I had one that I was really thinking about, but I changed my mind in midair and I changed the shot. Because I started thinking about everything that's going on and how it's going to unfold and how everybody's going to closely pay attention to it. And it's going to be pretty interesting because it's going to turn out the way that he anticipated it. We've gone an entire show only mentioning his name one time. I think Green Bay, I'm high on Green Bay to have a really good year. I'm telling you, I think Green Bay is going to rock out this year. I not only think they're going to be good this year, I think they're going to rank ahead of Tampa Bay as the season marches on. I think they will be the team to beat in the NFC.
Interesting.
All right. Now, let's go to who we're low on. Who are you low on going
this
into the season?
This is easy for me.
Okay.
I'm as low as can be on the Houston Texans. Don't like what they're doing.
Oof.
The culture.
That is easy.
The players don't seem to be in. It's just I can see the Texans with the first pick of the draft losing 13, 14 games this year. New head coach, new front office. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to play there. Yeah, I'm very low on the Houston Texans. But I believe the majority of people that are football fans are as well.
I know this is going to rock some people and shake them to the core. I think this team has all the potential in the world to be really good. But it's very possible that they could really, really, really have a train wreck of a year for some very, very obvious reasons that may surface as they get into the season, is the Seahawks. I think that you when you look at Sam Adams and what he can bring to the table, they're trying to get that contract done. Is he the guy for the job to help really, really solidify what that defense is? He could be. He might not be. Is that defense going to be good enough to overcome some of the things that you may deal with on the offensive side of the ball? They could be, they might not be. It's an aging defense with their best players, you know, with Wagner and all those guys. Heck, we don't even know if some of them are coming back for next year. Then I look at the offensive side of the ball, and it's this one thing that keeps on, and it's funny because I'm a throw you under the bus on this one. When you look at how well this offense can play, it's when they play within the parameters of what the scheme presents to be able to have success. But I can recall times where you've sat there and you said, you know, it seems as though Russ is pushing too hard to be something that maybe he's not. And trying to become a NFL MVP as your main focus and how you position yourself within the media, the things that you say. He had a quote not too long ago that said, this is going to be the best one yet. That's a red flag to me. And the reason why it's a red flag, TJ, for the simple fact that you've already won a Super Bowl. You've been to the Super Bowl, and that wasn't the best of experiences. You lost. But the game was on your arm. You could have won the game with the throw that you were going to make. They didn't hand it off to Marshawn Lynch. They threw it. You threw the game away. it made me wonder what makes this the best year yet.
See, when you look at the Seahawks, Russell Wilson is fantastic. That's obvious. But when you play for a defensive head coach, there's only so much opening the offense he's going to allow. Like, Pete Carroll wants to run the ball. He wants to be a run-first team. That's in his DNA as the majority of defensive coaches. They want to run the ball. But I'm a firm believer, when you pay a quarterback franchise-type money, you give him the reins of the offense
and you open it up. But he comes up short throwing the ball. He starts throwing too much.
He comes up short because Pete Carroll is he's the head coach, and it's his right to do so. But he's involved on the offense side of the ball with what's being called. Everybody knows it.
Will that exist this year?
I'm certain it will.
So then I'm right. Then they're going to butt heads. Things are going to – but
that division, like, I think if you're a fan of the Rams, you can make a case for them winning it. If you're a fan of the Niners, you can make a case for them winning it.
If you're a fan of the Seahawks,
you can make a case for them and the Cardinals.
Yes.
It's the toughest one this year.
All four of those teams
can literally make a case as to why we're going to win a division. You'll say, yeah, you're right. I kind of agree with that.
But I think
that's a hard division.
But that's why I think the Seahawks are going to run into a problem.
I don't know. That division is so hard to get a gauge on with Salah being in New York now. How is the Niners' defense going to be? Offensively, can Jimmy G stay healthy? Are they going to have to go to Trey Lance? If they have to go to Trey Lance, you would assume, the Rams, they lose their running back. Do they have any running backs in-house?
They let their fullback, their power back go. Their starter gets hurt. They don't have a back.
If they don't sign
they
a back,
line issues.
If they don't sign a back and they have success, this will be an example of why the running back has been devalued. If they don't sign the back and they have success running the ball, people will point to this.
We do know that Mike Shanahan's offense evolved so much that you could use pretty much any back in his
Kyle
backfield.
Shanahan.
Well, but
his
Mike,
dad, he,
but
yes.
Mike went. We
but that's
know that,
what he did when he was in Denver.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So he evolved the idea of this offensive scheme to be able to use pretty much a plug and play running back system. Kyle Shanahan has since been a part of it. It's evolved a little bit more with having the read option evolved in it and read passes, RPO style offense. He's going to have a lot of guys that Deebo Samuels is going to be back healthy.
Ayuk.
You're going to have Ayuk, which he is a beast. I mean, those two right there alone tell me that it's going to be smoke in the city if Jimmy Garoppolo can stay healthy. I don't know if they're as good if Trey Lance gets in early. I think Jimmy Garoppolo fits the role and the mold that he's supposed to fit. I just think that this NFC West is going to be a lot to deal with, as you mentioned, and looking at it from that angle, looking at the fact that Russell Wilson, all that's left on his to-do list really is to get MVPs, MVP of the league, MVP of the Super Bowl. We talk about him in terms of being one of the greatest quarterbacks to play the game, one of the most clutch quarterbacks to play the game. But until he gets votes, until he is in the conversation of being an MVP of the league, until he is able to get maybe an MVP of a Super Bowl, there are always going to be detractors. That's it. But he didn't. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. And I think that by the way Russell Wilson handles things and the way it plays out in social media, the way this whole offseason played out with him trying to seek a trade, I think all those things are a symptom or a product of him feeling the pressure of that
man,
being
he
all
lit
that's
that,
left
he
for
he
his contract.
He lit that fire under that organization, and Pete Carroll was like, listen, man, I'm not going to sit here and keep going for this. It's either going to be this or that. And they got the message loud and clear.
Hmm. I tend to think that if they have any struggles, that loud and clear is going to turn into a loud and clear for Russell Wilson and what they feel about him and how they're going to run things. But that is what it is. Let's do this. Let's transition over to Ilo. Let's see what's trending in sports. What you got for us, sir?
All right, fellas. Right now it is 1:32 on Monday morning in Tokyo. Busy Sunday and Sunday night at the Olympics there, starting with Italy's Lamont Marcel Jacobs winning the gold medal in the men's 100-meter final with a time of 9.80 seconds. He won it by 0.04 of a second over American Fred Curley, who captured the silver medal. Earlier Sunday, American Xander Schauffele won the gold medal in men's golf by one shot over Rory Sabatini. Also beginning to trend right now, an amazing ending to the men's high jump final between Qatar's Mutaz Essa Barshim and Italy's Gianmarco Tamberi. So they wound up tying for the gold medal, and I didn't even know this was an option. They were given the choice by an official to either do a jump off or share the gold medal. So here is the audio of them discussing with an official whether they are going to share the gold medal or go against each other in a jump-off. Listen.
We can continue with the jump-off.
Can we have two gold?
It's possible. It depends if you decide.
History,
if you both decide on the
champions. So they both took the gold.
They both took crazy. The gold. That was the audio, and they went absolutely crazy. Yep.
I mean, can I get my honest opinion on that?
Yes, of course. That's what you're supposed to do around here.
That is preposterous. Sorry. I might have made somebody mad.
Hold on.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That is ridiculous. Why would I want to share my medal? Like, either I want to win it or I want to lose it. Like, let's go after it. Like, let's get this jump off in.
So you're saying that would never have happened with an American football player mentality?
I don't want to say American football player mentality. I want to speak for everybody. I'll speak for LeVar on that one. I would never want to just settle with saying, oh, yeah, we had an opportunity to decide it, and we both decided that it was just better for us to share the gold.
You know what? That's enough of what's trending. I want to hear more about this. So go ahead.
Man,
back
I mean,
to
what,
you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you think? Would you want to do it? Ilo, would you want to do it, TJ? Like, what do you think?
I'm not an ex-jock, so TJ, go ahead.
You okay with that, TJ?
Actually, you know what? I will say this. Whatever the sports broadcasting equivalent would be, although this was a great visual,
okay.
A guy from Qatar and a guy from Italy, if I was given the opportunity to share some great sports broadcasting award or assignment, actually, LeVar, you're darn right. I would not share it at all. I would say winner take all. Let's go. So, yes.
Right. If you had the chance to decide it, like if you're going to take off the rails your segment versus Qatar's off the whatever it is, their title is off the Qatar.
Do they both get the same medal?
Yeah, yes. They both get the gold, which I didn't even know you could do.
Me neither.
Are you okay with that?
Nah, I would prefer to have a winner.
Let's go jump it off.
Yeah, like let's.
Now, if we can't decide it on the jump off, if I can't clear something that you can't clear and we can't clear it and we can't decide it that way, okay, then let's share the gold. But, and even then, I would try.
Man,
did I miss the jump?
This out. Did you make it on your first try? Nope. Okay, I get the gold. I got it on my first try. Some of that nature to where.
Did you miss getting over the bar worse than I did? let's measure vertical leaps.
Because
something. You got to decide
they can
something.
The bar, if neither one of them can clear it, then it's pretty much the same thing. But yeah, man, that's a.
Something.
That's a, yeah.
You
got
to decide something. One thing I'm not going to do is be sitting there like, yeah!
They can decide.
We're going to share the gold.
They can rock, paper, scissors.
Something. I don't even care. Let's do it. I'm not sitting there cheering and being happy about winning the gold and sharing it. Like, there's something, like, I'm not standing on, like, how are they even going to do that for the anthems of each one of their homelands? How are you going to do it? Like, now you're going to put two ones
they'll have to do
on,
a mix.
On the stand?
They'll have to do a remix of the national anthems for Italy and Qatar. The one thing that I would also add to it, I didn't even know that this was a potential option. I would have thought that in the Olympics or any high-level international competition that there would be a mechanism where there's a mandatory playoff and you can't decline the opportunity for a tiebreaker. I mean,
how can you decline a tiebreaker? What if one declines a tiebreaker and one doesn't want to do the, or one wants to break the tie? How does that work?
Exactly. For example, if the men's basketball gold medal game is a tie at the end of regulation, are they going to give Team USA and whoever they're playing the opportunity to, okay, you can go to overtime or we can just give you both the gold medals right now?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the men's basketball team because you know what? I teased Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons isn't even on the Olympic basketball team this year. They just got back on track and really wore out a team yesterday. Who was that they wore out yesterday? Was that who was it?
U.S.?
Yeah, who did they play?
I think it was the Czech Republic.
Czech Republic spanked them. But I wanted to ask you this one, TJ. Speaking of basketball, before we go back to this gold medal thing, or if we do go back to it, what should the Sixers do with Ben Simmons after this season? Like the way it ended, the way things kind of unfolded, what they tried to trade him.
They're still trying to trade him.
They're trying to trade him. I don't think that there's a trade out there for what they're asking for. Makes sense for what they're trying to do. What do you do?
If it's reported, what's been reported, if it's true that they want James Wiseman, Andrew Wiggins, they wanted the 7th pick, the 20th pick, and 3 future first-round picks, they done lost their mind.
Ben Simmons is not bad.
Man, listen.
He's an all-star. He just can't shoot free throws.
They have lost their mind.
He deferred on shooting. He lost his confidence.
You want James Wiseman, who was the second pick.
He needed to opt out on playing
in
that last series.
You want Andrew
Wiggins. Mental health.
Man, they have lost their mind.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I don't understand where they come with, give me all of this for a player that we don't want. We know you don't want him, and you think you're going to get a king's ransom for a player everybody knows you're trying to move. I'm not giving it to you. Not that anyway.
I mean, we saw a game plan executed where it totally exposed and minimized and diminished a lot of the positive feelings and thoughts of how we looked at Ben Simmons as a dominant player. Now, I do not think that should dismiss and disqualify
Ben
all
Simmons
of his accomplishments.
He
is a ball player. He is an all-star level ball player, but he was exposed, and he was exposed like tremendously in this last playoff run. So what do you do? What is the best recourse? We've heard that there have been a little bit of unrest between him and Embiid. They kind of aren't on the same pages. We don't know how they feel about one. It almost comes across as a Carson Wentz type of scenario with Ben Simmons in Philadelphia at this point. It seems as though it would be best for them to both get fresh starts from one another as it applies to moving forward.
Oh, they can make that happen. Lower your asking price.
But deal with it again. But you hurt your team in the process of lowering that asking price.
Exactly. And you hurt, and from just hearing you talk, you hurt your team if you keep them.
So if
him and Embiid aren't getting along, you hurt your team by keeping them. Nobody is giving you that. Nobody. Like, you want a young player in Wiseman who people assume is going to be a fantastic player as soon as he matures. Andrew Wiggins and 5 first-round picks?
Can't happen.
Man, stop.
Can't happen.
Stop it. Like, what are they doing? If things don't change, which I don't think they will, Ben Simmons will be a Philadelphia 76er next year, and they'll be complaining about it again. Oh, we have to move him. Lower your asking price, and maybe some dice will start rolling.
All right. It'll be interesting to see how that one plays out.
But Ben Simmons is young. He can improve. Like, for Ben Simmons, it's more mental than anything. Just believe in yourself.
And put the work in.
And I'm sure he believes in himself, but when you have a dunk and you pass the ball,
something ain't right.
Something is not right. you have to have the mentality of an assassin. It is just like, man, you look at Giannis, that dude will airball a free throw. He going to the hole the next possession. He'll airball another free throw. He going to the hole the next possession.
Yeah.
He doesn't let it bother him. And some people just had that mental makeup to where
there's a difference in creating that reputation in Milwaukee versus in Philadelphia too, though. I mean, there's a little
But when you're in the playoffs, all eyes are on you.
Yeah, that's
all
true.
Eyes are on you.
That is true.
And Giannis is airballing free throws. He can care less what we say about him. He can care less what anybody says. I'm going to the hole. I'm playing my game. And Giannis was an average shooter, and he still is. But he'll shoot some 3-point shots just to keep you honest here and there. But he's gonna play his game.
And he's gonna be the reason why you win.
Man, he playing
ultimately.
He playing like a skinny version of Shaq. Deal with me.
Much more skilled version, skinny version of Shaq.
Deal with me. I'm gonna bully you to the basket. Stop it. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
And that's his game. Ben Simmons, play your game, add the occasional jump shot in there, but play your game. Believe in what you're doing.
Yeah. You're listening to Fox Sports Sunday with LeVar Arrington and TJ Hushmanzada. We're going to wrap up the show coming up next here. We're going to end out with, a Mammals of the Week. And I got three good ones for you. We're going to keep it Olympic style in some cases. And, we may venture off into something different as well. You're listening to, as I mentioned, Fox Sports Sunday. We'll be right back, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Pump up the jam. Pump it up. While your beat is, I know,
but I just like singing my own way of singing it. I knew it was the different one, but I just want to say pump up the jam. Pump it up while your feet are pumping.
Yeah.
I know it. Welcome back to Fox Sports Sunday as we come down to an end. TJ, it has been a pleasure, bro. And, we knocked this one out. Fellas in the back, this has been great. We knocked it out. Without further ado, what you been waiting for?
Mammal? It takes an apex predator to properly
cold-blooded
assess situations
or warm-blooded?
And spot potential greatness.
Warm.
Okay.
No matter how big or small, LeVar Arrington puts the spotlight on them all. These are his Mammals of the Week.
All right, let's jump into it, TJ. First one up, bro. Let's go to the MLB. And that baseball diamond, we got Joey Votto. Yeah, he missed out on becoming the fourth player to hit a home run in 8 straight games, but Votto hit 9 home runs in 7 straight games. You got to love that. Going into Saturday's game where he went 1-for-5. He owned 278, 374, 563 batting line average with 21 home runs on the season. That qualifies him for all Mammal. Love that. Now let's go to another one on the MLB baseball diamond. Anthony Rizzo, of course, he was a part of the trade deadline. And 24 hours after being traded from Chicago to the New York, the New York team.
New York.
I know it's the Yankees. It's Yankees. The New York team. Anthony Rizzo went 2-for-3 in his debut, hitting a home run, and he had an RBI, TJ. Then on Saturday night, he went 2-for-2, including another home run and another RBI.
They love him. They love him right now.
The Yankees won both games against the Marlins. How about that? And for that, Anthony Rizzo, you are a traded Mammal. All Mammal, that is. Yeah. Let's bring it home. We're going to the Olympics. I said we would go to the Olympics, and we're going to go to the Olympics. Olympic swimmer Caleb Dressel. Dressel won every event, TJ. Let me see you win every event getting in that water. He won every event he participated in Tokyo after winning 5 gold medals. Dressel's 5 medals put him in an elite club, making up of only 4 other swimmers who've won 5 medals in one Olympic game. Dressel also set the Olympic record for a 50-meter freestyle final, finishing in 21.0 seconds. That is fast, and that is a water all mammal fast, if you dig what I'm saying. And that, my friends, is your All Mammals of the Week. And you know what else that is? That is the conclusion of a show. I'll tell you what, TJ, it's been real. We're going into the week. A lot of NFL training camp news will become the big news of the week. Super excited to get back to football.
Man, Hall of Fame game.
Hall of Fame game is
coming
up.
Once that starts, football is back, baby.
Yeah.
The sport of sports.
That is how it works. Once the Hall of Fame game goes off, that is the start of the season. That is the shotgun start. And you know what? Shouts out and congrats to all of the inductees to the Hall of Fame. What a great accomplishment. What an amazing accomplishment. Steve Hartman is coming up next. Make sure you check him out. Stay tuned in. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Goodbye from me and TJ. We'll holler.